This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, Tig.
Cheryl.
Yeah.
This is a long episode, so we probably shouldn't spend much time
on this part. No, because we got to get to a lot of, we've got some stories about celebrities.
Let's get into it.
Okay,
Cheryl.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Operation Varsity Blues, the college admissions scandal.
Boom!
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Tig?
Cheryl?
You ready to do this?
Yes. I'm ready to rock and roll.
Wow, you sound ready? Really excited. I'm actually very excited to talk to you about this one. Well, you want me to tell people what we're talking about today?
Of course.
So Operation Varsity Blues, the college admission scandals. Scandal. It's singular.
Whenever I hear the word operation, I always think about how during the holidays, Stephanie and I start Operation Pig Face, which is...
What is that?
Well, it's just, you know, you... I love how serious you got.
I don't understand what it's just, it is.
Well, I'm about to tell you. Halloween starts, then Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Day feast, Halloween.
Not Halloween.
Valentine's Day. It's just
a lot of eating.
Operation Pig Face. Okay. You know, it's like pies and cakes and
but it's
cookies.
It's not really your face. It should be pig belly or something.
Yeah, but it goes into your pig face first and then it goes to your pig belly.
Okay. Operation Varsity Blues, the college admissions scandal, is a 2001 documentary.
Somebody should do a documentary called Operation Pig Face.
Directed by Chris Smith and starring actor Matthew Modine. We'll get to that in a moment. Using dramatic reenactments as well as interviews, the film gives details behind the 2019 college admissions bribery scandal that involved multiple wealthy celebrities and their children. The documentary is available to watch on Netflix. So just to let people know, this film was pretty, I thought it was fascinating. We don't usually do reenactments, but...
We don't as actors. Like, we have not built our careers.
We haven't done them, although that's not true. I got one of my first jobs reenacting, what was it called? Unsolved Mysteries.
Congrats,
Thank
Cheryl.
You. I didn't have any
What was
lines.
The mystery?
There was a nanny that was, it's not funny. She was abusing children.
Yeah. A friend of mine was a background actor in a... what are those called? Soap operas. And she played a maid at a really fancy hotel.
Yeah.
And the scene where the main stars are in the hallway and there's a proposal.
Yeah.
My friend was in the background going like, oh, silently. And when she did that, we rewound it and watched it and laughed hysterically. I was visiting in New York for like a week, and we watched it, I think,
over and over.
Over and
so
over.
So many times.
I mean, I could not get enough of her.
Yeah. Listen, that's what my family did when I was on Swamp Thing. I died.
Look at you coming out with all these all these credits.
I died. This was Swamp Thing, the TV show. And in the episode, I died. Uh-huh. And I would, and I, by the way, I asked the director, I said, well, I don't even know what I'm dying of. And he said, don't worry about it. We don't have a lot of time. Just clutch your chest and, you know, and wobble around for a second and then fall to the floor. And I said, so is it a heart attack? He's like,
is this when you lived in Florida?
We don't have time. Yes.
Okay.
So when
sounds
that,
like a Florida gig.
Yeah, it was a Florida gig. When that aired, I'm telling you, one by one, they would get up in the living room and reenact my death scene.
Can you do that for me right now?
No, we've got to get to this. Oh, but I do want to say one more thing.
Oh, yes, of course. Whatever you want to do.
Thank you.
You go ahead and interrupt and take the time you need.
Well, people can't see. They can't see me reenacting.
I can.
This isn't about you. This is about our listeners.
It's about us.
But, you know, when I did Unsolved Mysteries, at that point, I also had another audition for a show called...
Alf?
No, I wish. No, this was another reenactment show, and it was called When Animals Attack.
Alf Attack.
And my role, I guess there was a seventh... there is a seventh month...
And wait, you were submitting yourself for these?
I guess agent, or I saw breakdowns or something.
Were you a big fish in a small pond?
In Orlando. But then when I moved here... Uh-huh. That's when I had the audition for When Animals Attack.
Oh.
So it was a big deal.
I guess
they must have seen my Unsolved Mysteries. And
you're
said,
miming.
We got to get
in
that
in the background.
Lady. So I go in, and it's for a 7-month pregnant lifeguard who gets attacked by a shark. And so my audition was, I didn't have any lines, you know, but they wanted me to crawl around on the floor like my leg had just been attacked by a shark and pull myself up onto this chair that was supposed to be a rock. And then let everybody know I was worried about my baby by like touching my belly and then also touching my leg that had been attacked by a shark. And, I did a great job.
Cheryl. Now, okay, that was great, but touch the belly more. We want to make sure people know you're worried about your unborn child.
That is exactly what they said.
Mm-hmm. I've directed before.
So then I get a call back, and I'm feeling good about it, and I didn't get the show. And
what?
I know. And then I was still talking about it months later because I was working on something
years later. decades.
And
it's still coming up.
I was talking to this...
anyone that'll listen.
to this makeup artist, and she said, be glad you did not get that part. Because the actress that got it, you know, she had to wear a fake pregnancy belly. Uh-huh. Well, when she went into the water and it got wet, it was dragging her under the water. The wet pregnant belly, but they didn't know because it.
Thought they had a higher budget.
Figured out, no, it was like a sandbag, and so they
surprising
didn't know.
Surprising that
they
the
didn't,
job seems so legit, and
they didn't know that she was in distress because she was supposed to be acting like she was getting attacked by a shark, and it was a real mess. And anyway.
Did she live?
She lived. She was fine.
Oh, well, then you still should have wished you had gotten the gig.
But then the stunt woman had to do the whole thing. No, because then the actress...
This is just a normal story.
Well, this is what
everybody lived, and they got the job, and you didn't.
Forget it. Okay.
And Cheryl, that's great and everything, yeah. But you do realize that you're bragging to somebody... who has gone viral recently for being
the sexiest lady alive.
I'm sorry, are you tired?
What happened? No, I'm tired of my earballs listening to a certain thing over and over.
Well, you know, it's not often that you turn 50 and then all of a sudden...
Hashtag.
You get
hashtag. You are getting a hashtag.
Girl, I got hashtag. Girl,
hey, girl, hey, you're getting a hashtag.
Hey, girl. Hello.
Just to get back to our film at hand here.
Right, college scandals.
Operation Varsity Blues. This particular film, they use all the dialogue from recorded phone calls.
Yeah.
It's all, they, you know, there were wiretaps.
You do your hand like a little kitty paw.
There were wiretaps. Uh-huh. And these actors were saying the actual lines from conversations that really
happened. Why did that blow your mind?
I just loved it. Because usually when you see like a, you know, a dramatization of something, people are just guessing what people said. They're just mm-hmm. like, I bet then the queen said, hey, Charles, get over here. You know, but we don't know that the queen ever said that.
What is sure. that dialogue from? You fancy yourself a writer, right?
I know the royal world very well.
Yes.
Didn't you love that, though? You didn't like that about this? Or you it didn't strike you?
Well, first of all, when I saw Matthew, is it Modine?
Yeah.
I realized two things.
Okay.
I don't know if he hasn't worked in years or if I haven't seen him in years. The last time I saw him was in the 80s.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, you're older now.
Okay. Well, let me address that before you go to number two. Matthew Modine is a huge international star.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't follow things.
I know. That's why I'm telling you.
Okay. What is he in?
Well, I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm just saying, I mean, imagine in like Spain, he's huge. Because I've been in conversations with people about international distribution, and Matthew Modine is a name of an actor where people go, whoa, if you can get Modine, we'll
are you
do
being
it.
Serious?
I'm totally serious.
Wow.
Yeah. He's
okay. Well, I am never involved in those conversations. And I'm very curious how they always seem to pull Cheryl Hines into the national distribution conversations. And can you get me Matthew Modine? I can't even remember what movie I saw him in the 80s.
He's done a lot of other stuff since the
80s. I believe that. I just...
Am I going to have to Google him?
Well, I mean, that's your business.
I'm going to. Hey, did you ever hear of Full Metal Jacket?
I've heard of Full Metal Jacket. I didn't watch it. But there was some, like, love story. Was it Desperately Seeking Susan? Was he in that?
I mean, that was a while ago, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, is I haven't seen him since then.
Well,
I saw
that's
him.
Not his fault. That's
wait,
yours.
But was he in that movie?
Desperate.
Okay. Our producer Shaggy said no. Because I know. Okay. I know I saw Madonna in a movie and I felt like it was Desperately Seeking Susan and I thought that he was in that.
Mm.
But he was in some other movie that came out sometime around 1985.
Okay.
He was in Vision Quest, our producer said. Yes. What year was Vision Quest?
1985.
Okay.
Well, what's the
when
most
was
recent...
Desperately Seeking Susan?
Oh, for ball's sake.
1985. Okay. So I do remember that those are probably the two films I saw that year was Vision Quest and Desperately Seeking Susan.
Okay. What was the other thing you thought of when you saw Matthew?
No, those were the two things.
Oh.
I thought either I haven't caught him in anything since Vision Quest.
You've said this.
Cheryl, drop the attitude.
Yeah, we
you asked me what's the second thing, and I'm telling you.
I'm telling you.
This is college scandals. Now listen.
Oh my God.
All I'm saying is the two things was either I haven't seen him or he hasn't been working. And then you said, and what's the second thing?
Okay, so we're gonna calmly get back on track.
I still feel like he was in Desperately Seeking Susan.
So this story. Mm. So Matthew Modine plays this guy, Rick Singer. Okay, so Rick Singer was a legitimate college counselor in Sacramento in 1998. Mm-hmm. He was a basketball coach, and
But he got a little too angry on the court.
Yeah, and they weren't winning, and they let all the basketball coaches go. And so he decided to
rob everyone.
Well, we're jumping ahead. He decided to start this college counselor service called Future Stars. And he would, he would find wealthy people who wanted to hire him to help their high school kids get into a great college.
Right.
Okay. So that is a legitimate business.
Cheryl.
Yeah?
I need you to be honest with me right now.
Whatever you're about to ask, the answer is yes. Go ahead.
Really?
No, I don't know what you're going to say.
Oh. Would you have ever done this?
Would I have ever hired somebody to pay money? No. No, I wouldn't have. I mean, that being said, I totally understand people donating money to a school that they went to or that they like.
In hopes of getting their kids.
Well, I mean, you would hope that it wouldn't be for that reason. But let me explain something. In this movie, there are a lot of doors. They talk about the side door, the back door, the front door. Did you notice that?
Of course. I don't miss a thing.
So the front door, getting into a college through the front door.
Yeah. That's just being legit.
Yeah, that's just making it on your own. You go, you take your tests, you get good grades, you do your application.
You pull a Cheryl Hines. You get into college.
You get into the University of Central Florida from your own merits.
Was that your dream college?
You know what? I never thought I was going to go to college, honestly. I just wanted to be an actor. And
so how did you stumble upon college?
Well, in high school, I fell madly in love with this guy named Lee Kaplan. And I know you're listening, Lee.
Hey, Lee.
And
how long were you with Lee?
We were off and on for years and years. In high school, and then he went to West Virginia University, and then I went up there to visit him, and his father sat me down and said, why aren't you going to college? And I said, I don't feel that I really need to, because I want to be an actress. And he was like, you should go to school. And he really talked me through it. He encouraged me, and then I thought, I guess this is the time to do it if I was ever going to do it.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the theater program there, and I went to West Virginia University for my first year.
To be with the guy.
Yeah, and then we broke up. And then in an interesting twist, I moved back to Florida.
I love a twist and turn.
Went to Florida State for a minute, and then went to University of Central Florida, and then who moved to University of Central Florida? Lee.
Let me think.
It was Lee.
To be with you?
No.
Did y'all get back together?
Not really. We were really off and on. We were just an off and on
couple. I've had some of those.
Yeah. Like, you love each other, but I don't know if it's really...
We're not going to be together forever.
But I still talk to him.
Oh, does he listen to this?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. But I should tell him.
Why? Is he like a normal person or something? Is he married with kids and has like a business job or something?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's listening.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. you can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, so that's the front door. Mm-hmm. Oh, it took a long way to get there. The back door, the back door is when you make a donation to the school, and mm-hmm. usually now it's tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, if you say, I'd like to donate $20 million to USC, mm-hmm. and my sons will be applying this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it would be hard for a university to be like, we'll see.
But they do. They say, we'll see.
Yeah, because
right?
they can't officially say, okay, yes. They say, we'll see, and then they get in.
Yeah.
Then that brings us to Rick Singer, mm-hmm. played by Matthew Modine. Then there's the side door. So that's what Rick Singer was doing. And he...
A lot of side door business.
Oh, this whole movie was about the side door.
Here's what my question is, though.
Yeah.
So many of the people that were going in the side door, weren't they really wealthy? Why weren't they doing the $20 million donation? Why were they doing the low rent side door?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, I hate to skip ahead, but I think we already know, like Felicity Huffman. Mm-hmm. It's hard to talk about some of these people because some of these people are friends, acquaintances.
How tight are you with Felicity and Bill?
Well, I've worked with Bill, and I love and adore him. I know Felicity just, you know, acquaintances. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I know Felicity and Bill. Mm-hmm. Our mutual friends.
Yeah.
We're getting married, and Felicity and Bill, or as the general public know him as, William H. Macy.
That's true.
They were throwing a party for our mutual friends who were getting married.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really nice. I was very charmed by the whole day.
All of it. Yeah,
I mean,
of course.
They had written poems for our friends.
Wow.
They wrote a song, and they were like singing and dancing and harmonizing together. And I was just like, oh my gosh, these people. This is so great. The food was delicious. It was a very intimate, beautiful day at their house.
Okay.
So at the very end of the day, I had only spoken to Felicity and Bill very briefly, like, hello, thank you for having me kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then after the day that, I mean, I was so touched, like crying touched.
Right.
It was such a beautiful day. I can't express it enough.
Yeah.
So I walked into the kitchen to say goodbye to my friends that were engaged. Mm-hmm. And the woman that was hired to throw the party said, and the woman had lined up vases of beautiful flowers that had been arranged all throughout the house.
Yeah.
And she said, as she was saying to people as they were leaving, here, take some flowers.
Yeah.
Take some flowers. I was going to a friend's house after, and I was getting a ride from another mutual friend from this engagement party to my other friend's house. So I was like, I can't bring a vase of flowers.
Okay.
And so the woman said, no, 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 you have to take the flowers. I was like, I'm going in different cars, and I'm going to skip the flowers thing. Please make it easier on everybody. Just take some flowers. So I was like, okay. So I get this vase that has flowers like 2 feet, not really, but like a foot and a half tall. It's like a big bouquet.
It's a big deal.
It's big.
Yeah, okay.
Which is why I did not want to bring it in the car.
It's not easy.
So I'm walking out, and I see Felicity sitting at the base of her steps.
I'm so afraid to know where this is going. Okay, go ahead.
I see Felicity at the base of her stairs.
Yeah.
Her daughters have just been dropped off from the nanny or babysitter because they went someplace while the party was going on.
Right.
And she was, saying hello to her daughters. And I thought, should I interrupt that to say goodbye? And then I thought, well, of course.
Okay.
Of course. You should say goodbye and say thank you.
Okay.
So I walk over awkwardly holding this vase that, keep in mind, I didn't want. And I said, hi, Felicity. I just wanted to thank you. While I'm holding the flowers. I said, I just want to thank you for today. It was so beautiful and touching. And thanks for opening your home. And she, keep in mind, the only interaction I've had with this person was a very friendly hello, a beautiful day. And now I'm holding flowers saying thank you and goodbye.
Okay.
She just looks at me and she said, she said, so you're just taking my flowers? That's what I did, Cheryl. Well, I started laughing because
that
I thought
like a joke. She was
I
kidding.
Thought she was kidding because our mutual friends are two hilarious people.
Okay.
So I laughed and I said, I said, I'm just taking your flowers. And I said, no, somebody, and she was not breaking her stare. And I was thinking,
oh,
she has to be kidding. And so I'm holding this and I said, no, I was told to take the flowers. And she said, who told you that you could take my flowers?
Oh.
And I still was waiting. I was looking at her with a smirk on my face because I was thinking,
okay,
she's gonna catch me. All right, here it comes. And then I'm like, oh, wait, she's not breaking. Like, so now I have to tell on this woman who gave me the flowers.
Oh, no.
And I said, and I'm still in my head going, come on, Felicity, you can tell me you're kidding any second.
Just break now.
Come on. And I turned, I said, she did. And I pointed across the house to the woman. Because it's like, what? I just look like I'm in her house taking her flowers. And like behind her was an office by their stairs.
Okay.
And I saw Emmys and I was thinking, I just leave the house. Yeah, I'm taking Emmys. I'm taking flower. Like,
God
I don't
knows
have
what's
any
in
boundaries.
Satchel.
Yeah. Yes. So I said, she did. And she did not look at me or talk to me again. She got up, walked past me. Meanwhile, I'm running behind her with the flowers. And I'm like, I didn't even want the flowers. And she beelines over to the woman who is standing there with all the other flowers. And our friends who have just had the most beautiful day for their engagement are saying goodbye to people. And Felicity interrupts in the kitchen and she goes, so you're just telling people they can take my flowers?
Oh.
And the woman was staying there. And I'm standing there still behind Felicity holding this vase of flowers I didn't even want. And the woman said, well, I just thought because there's so many that we should share it with the guests. And she said, I can have them not take it. And she was like, never mind. And she walked out of the kitchen.
Oh.
And I put the vase down and I got the hell out of there. And then when I went to the wedding.
Oh, you saw them.
Yes. But I don't think she ever clocked my face or I don't think she knows who I am to this day. And so, so we were at the wedding. And everybody where they were sitting having their meals had little tiny vases with flowers, little bouquets. And I wanted to go up.
Uh-oh, no.
In between
and
Bill and just grab the little tiny bouquet with flowers and have her say, what are you doing? And then just saying, well, I don't have any boundaries. I just wanted your flowers and I was going to take them. But I just left him alone. And then another time I went into this vegan restaurant over by Universal Studios, and I saw her and her daughter sitting in there. I went in to pick up some food, and she and her daughters were the only two sitting in there. And That was also when I realized, like, she doesn't know.
You do not show up on her radar.
No, I don't show up on her radar at all. She did not recognize
me. Maybe she was just having a day. Maybe it was just a...
Well, then, years later, I would say 2 years later, I was over at our mutual friend's house, and I was helping do the dishes after dinner, and randomly turned to me, and she said, you know, I have to apologize to you for something. And I remember thinking, what on earth could be apologizing to me for? Because she's the nicest person. She's actually since passed away, sadly. But she was one of the nicest people. And I said, what do you owe me an apology for? And she said, my friend who yelled at you about the flowers. She said, I was mortified. And I said, I was mortified for you. I wasn't mortified for, I mean, I was mortified, but I was also like, I felt bad because that was a special day for them. Yeah.
How did she know about it? How did she know about it?
Because she was standing there. She and her future husband were standing in the kitchen saying goodbye as people were leaving. And the woman that helped organize the party was handing bouquets to everyone as they walked out. And I was the one that got caught. I was just like, get me away from this situation.
Oh, my God. Okay, well.
But it gave me a story to tell.
Well, and then if anybody wants to watch it, I did a movie with William H. Macy called Bart Got a Room, which shot in Florida.
Oh, my God. Okay. This Florida place.
And we look insane in the movie. It was very
I want to go to Florida with you, Cheryl.
I wish you would. Okay. I wish you would.
Well, let's plan on it.
Okay, so, we have not even... Okay, so the side door that Rick Singer was doing... Tig, I want you to listen to this clip. Matthew Modine, a.k.a. Rick, will explain what the side door is.
From Desperately Seeking Susan.
Now, these families, they want guarantees. They don't want to be messing around with this thing. They want this thing done. And so they want in at certain schools. So I've done 761 what I would call side doors. The front door means getting in on your own. The back door is making a donation, which is 10 times as much money. I've created this kind of side door in because with the back door, there's no guarantee. They're just going to give you a second look. My families want a guarantee.
So what he did is he started this foundation, which was a nonprofit organization. So he convinced people to make a huge donation to his foundation and would also get a tax write-off for it. And he said that the foundation helped kids who needed help, you know, with schooling and financial help. So I imagine a lot of parents thought that they were doing something legitimate.
And really?
Did you not get that at all? At all.
Based on these conversations, it doesn't sound legitimate where they're like, what do I tell my child?
Well, these were the bad ones. But I mean, imagine this was like the tip of the iceberg. Don't you think there were just tons below it that were just, you know, okay, I'll make a donation to your foundation and you'll help my...
I think it
probably evolved into this. Yeah.
Of course. Everything evolves into something. But when I was watching it, I was so thankful and I know I talk about it all the time, being a failure dropout, never went to college.
Braggadocious.
Stephanie as well. Didn't fail. She dropped out senior year with a 4.1.
Wow.
But everybody told me I was going to regret not going to college.
Yeah.
I think it's great if people love school. They want to go to college. They want to get their master's, their PhD, whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
I'm all for it. I have no regrets still to this day. And I don't think it's because I'm successful that I, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I would have delivered pizzas. It's not for me. But watching this film, I was thinking, I'm so grateful that Stephanie and I are on the same page about college, that if our kids want to go to college, great. But there is no, we don't have that level of importance to it all that I just don't think that that can birth anything positive mm-hmm. when there's that sort of pressure and going against people's interests and mm-hmm. passions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like with my stepfather was so, it was all about you got to get a college education, you got to get into business. And there was just a real disconnect with me and my stepfather. And it was so nice and touching that all these years later, after having Max and Finn, he and I were driving when I was in Texas, and he said, you know, I hope it's okay, but I've started this account for Max and Finn for continuing education. And I said, yeah, I said, that's so nice. Thank you. And he said, but I want you to know that it's an account where they can use it for any sort. He said, if they want to be an artist or a mason or, you know, an attorney, whatever they want to do, it's there for them.
That's
and
nice.
I just, it was so nice. And it was an acknowledgement of me taking a different path and finding success.
And him hearing you and listening to you. And
that's what I'm saying is that acknowledgement.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'm glad that I don't feel that Stephanie and I don't feel that like our kids have to go to Princeton or USC or, you know, I mean, half of these schools I've performed at and bombed comedy. So
they don't have senses of humor.
I performed at maybe I've told it on this show.
Again, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Thank you.
We tell the same stories.
Right. Let's pull this old folder out. So I went as Sarah Silverman's opening act years ago. And all I had to do was 10 minutes. And Cheryl, I killed it.
Okay.
I killed it.
Okay.
They came up to me after and they said, we want to bring you back to Princeton for your own show.
Okay.
I said, oh my gosh, that is incredible. I wasn't getting these big gigs at like these incredible, you know,
campuses.
Prestigious.
Yeah.
I said, that's great. So they booked me. I filled this theater based on people seeing me the year before
just
opening
that 10
for
minutes.
Sarah. So, yeah. Just that 10 minutes. 10 they showed up. Cheryl.
Cannot wait. Yeah.
I killed it.
You did.
I killed it. They came up to me when I got off stage. They said, we want to have you back. We want to have you back this year for our end of the year big celebration.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God. I mean, the cash is flying in.
Wow.
I'm killing the gigs. They booked me just months out, just months away to come back.
I can't wait.
Well, this is a big learning curve for me, Cheryl.
What happened?
As a comedian, this is Princeton, and it's the same audience, okay?
All right, yeah.
All right, well, I have not written a whole new hour in three more months, so I show up, and the people at Princeton, they don't know how it works. They're just like, let's get this show pony back out here.
Every 2 months, we can have her.
Yeah, and the problem is, the first time was just a little...
That was just a little...
It's a little sprinkle. Here's 10 minutes of me.
Yeah.
You like that? I'll come on back, and boom, you like that?
I got an hour you're going to love.
And they're like, I'm going to up your pay. Come on out. I'm like, I'll be there. Bombed. People are going, yeah, we heard that a few months ago. And I was like, I was starting to realize, like, oh, my God, this is the exact same audience. And I was doing the exact same show. I have never heard from Princeton again.
No. I know that feeling of flop sweat.
Yes, but I'd like for them to let my children into their college if I can weasel my way in.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods. CarMax.com/POPPODS to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Circling back to varsity blues. I mean, I think it's nice to, I understand what you're saying about college. And like I said, I didn't think I was going to go, but I ended up going and I'm glad I did. And it's nice. It's nice if kids have the option, you know. It's hard if you feel like you just don't have the means to do it, or you don't have the guidance, you don't have anybody helping you. That's what's hard. And I think that's why this story struck a nerve for so many people, because people have been giving money to colleges for decades. This is nothing new. But this guy Rick Singer, because he had experience as a coach, he knew how to work the athletic system.
He knew the ins and outs.
And he worked it. So he started this foundation, and then he would bribe the coaches and athletic directors at these schools. That is scandalous. And not only that, but so they would have maybe, you know, one spot on the crew team. So he would say, look, I'm going to give you $200,000 and I'd like for you to take the person that I suggest for your crew team.
That I say actually
can crew.
Can row a boat. Don't ask any more questions. I will not be taking any more questions.
I will
send you a photo. She loves to row a boat.
And she knows what she's doing.
Look me in the eyes here. Look, she knows what she is doing.
And then they would say, okay.
I don't know if they spent a lot of time on Felicity's story, did they?
No, not really. I
mean, okay.
So she had hired this guy to help her daughter, who apparently is a very intellectually brilliant girl already. And he said, I can make sure that she will get a good grade on her whatever SAT. And Felicity was like, well, I think she will get a good grade. And he's like, I can make sure of it. So he knew this guy who was a proctor who would go and sit and watch kids take their SATs. And he would arrange it for this proctor to be one-on-one with the kid taking the test. And then he had the kid take the test on a different paper. And then he would go in and fill out the real paper to whatever score.
But wait, why do you feel for her?
Because I feel like she got caught up. She thought her daughter could do it, but she wanted to make sure she got it. I know. Now that I'm saying it out loud, it doesn't sound good. But these, but the other kids, you know, they were like taking a spot on the crew team or on the sailing team. A spot that
another. But her daughter's taking a spot too. I mean, if she could do it and she was capable, then
I know. Listen, I don't want to get in the middle of. But what she did was wrong. She pled. Oh, we haven't gotten there. Anyway,
God, you almost had a bean fall out of your mouth there.
I just went through a lot of things.
When did this movie come out again?
It just came out.
Oh, like, sorry. Just now.
My voice got so high. This year.
It just came out!
It came out March of this year. It just came out. So these other parents were now giving Rick Singer $500,000. And Rick would say, oh, we're going to get your son in as a water polo player. And the parent is saying, he doesn't play water polo. And he said, just put him in a pool and have him act like he's playing water polo and take a picture, and then we'll Photoshop it.
I don't understand. I can't imagine being on a phone call and having somebody suggest, hey, so just have Max go get in a pool, put a helmet on him or whatever, put this thing that catches things in his hand. And yeah, just take a picture and then we'll... And then me turning to Stephanie and being like, so I found this guy and...
Good news. I found this guy.
Yeah, I can... We'll just take a picture and then he's going to like
superimpose. They got the helmet from Amazon.
I mean, and who am I to talk? I was green screened into a movie and made into a sex symbol at 50. Oh. But I... You know, I just... I can't imagine having this conversation with Stephanie. Look... Nobody's a perfect person. No. I just cannot imagine having that conversation and both of us coming to the point of like, yes, it is that important that we show our children this level of deceit.
Well, I always thought too, when I was watching this, I don't think my daughter would be thrilled if I said, Hey, girl, put this helmet on, jump in the pool. And act like you're playing.
You would look insane.
She would say, are you out of your fucking mind? She would not use the F word with me. But she would.
Does she ever use it?
Yeah. When she thinks I can't hear her. But she would just. There's no way that she would go along. I don't think there's a way that she would go along with like a harebrained scheme like that.
That's the part where I trip up, where I actually imagine having the conversation without laughing and being like, I'm sorry. You're saying put my kid in a pool and put like a helmet on them and like have them throw.
Splash around.
Okay, let me talk to my wife. And then that's where, like, when I'm watching it, I'm like, I can't imagine having the telephone conversation and then turning to Stephanie and saying, right? Are we in?
Yeah. It seemed like in this film that there were some people that were acting on their own.
Without their spouse.
Yeah. Because if I were going to do this, I would not get other people involved. I'd be like, look, let's just try it. I'm going to put them in this pool. And don't tell your dad.
Wait, and then you don't even tell, because some of them weren't even telling their kids. And so here's what I'm picturing. You're like keeping it on the DL. And then your kid comes in your office and finds a picture of their face superimposed.
Rowing crew in the middle of a lake.
In your office. And you're like, what? You're Ma? Like, what?
Mind your own business. Get out of my office. Yeah. Well, what's
you
weird,
need to be packing for college.
What is also strange too is that then some of these, like, I mean, we'll just say Lori Loughlin's daughters, they get in for rowing crew. Yeah, because I think they had them on the rowing machine, and then they put them in a boat. But also, they have to know because when they get to school, they are enrolled as an athlete.
Right. You'd probably come up since you're like, hey, get in the boat. Let's start rowing like we love to do.
And they're like, wait a second. I'm in my high heels.
Yeah.
The most remarkable part about this story, not the most remarkable, but one of the most. Yeah. So this guy, Jane Vandermoor. Mm-hmm. I mean, not Jane. John.
This man, Penelope,
John?
I'm sorry, not Penelope, it's Earl.
John Vandermoor, who was a coach for sailing at Stanford.
Stanford and Sons College. One of the best sitcoms in the history of sitcoms.
Oh my god.
Aside from In the Motherhood.
This guy at Stanford, John, what did I say his name was? Vandermoor. So all these other coaches. Mm-hmm. And athletic directors at these other schools, they were getting bribes personally, right? Mm-hmm. So they're taking money personally, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this guy, John Vandermoor, he has, you know, crazy Rick Singer showing up in his flip-flops and shorts saying, I want to donate $160,000 to the sailing team.
Yes.
And then John says, that's really nice. For what reason? no strings attached. I just want to, you know, have a good relationship with you. So he was like, okay, great news, Stanford. I just got a big donation. And so now he's giving him donations. And then at some point, the FBI finds out about Rick Singer. Mm-hmm. They start wiretapping him.
Yeah.
He's now wearing a wire and he's now...
I thought you were going to say a wig.
No, he had his look. He had... Remember when George Clooney had the Caesar... What was it called? Like the Caesar cut. Which is like the tiny bangs going straight down in the front.
Mm, no. Isn't that what I have?
You have a lot of energy in your bangs.
Okay. Thank you.
Those just go, they just go straight down. Okay. You know what I mean? Like about an inch.
Yeah.
And
it's my hairstyle.
So Rick Singer knows he's going down.
Uh-huh.
The FBI has caught him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, I don't think they guaranteed him that he's not going to spend time in prison. But if you cooperate with us and tell us everybody that you've been working with and let us hear all of your conversations with them, then mm-hmm. you might get a better deal.
Okay.
So that's how this all started. And then Rick Singer was happy to sing. Hey.
Hey.
So all these people started going down. You know, it is a little painful to watch because you are hearing actual conversations between these parents and Rick Singer. And, you know, some of the parents were like, I don't want my kids to know. Are you sure this is okay? I don't know. It's a little heartbreaking. And at the same time, infuriating because you also know kids that don't have any money that are, you know, spending every hour studying or working on their sports to try to get a scholarship. And it's like...
Yeah, it's like these wealthy people already have so many advantages.
Right. Their kids are going to be okay, most likely. Whether they go to Yale or the University of Central Florida.
Or if you want to guarantee a higher grade, take that money and put it towards nonstop tutoring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we never made time to get to my Lori, and I think it's Lori Loughlin is the way to pronounce her last name.
I think it's Loughlin.
I did too, but...
You think it's Loughlin? You think it's a hard G. I think it's a soft G. I think it's an invisible G.
Okay, whatever, Lori.
Okay,
Lori. I have a Lori story.
L'Oreal. Oh, bring it.
Basically, you know what's really crazy is the person that connects me to Felicity and Lori is the same person.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Is an actor, and he was a part of a very, very small acting class.
Okay.
And if you missed class, you lost your spot in the class.
Mm-hmm.
So he reached out to me, and he said, hey, I can't make it to my class, but would you want to pay $50 and go in my place so I can keep my spot in my class? Because we're allowed to do that. And I said, oh, my gosh. That's hilarious. I've never even considered going to acting classes or anything like that. But sure, I'll go make myself uncomfortable. So I go in there, and it's in somebody's living room, and one of the actors is Lori.
Okay.
And just to back up a little bit, 4 years, and this might surprise you and everybody that hears this,
okay,
but I mean for years, and this is before Google was... You know,
Google
you just have a phone
around.
And you Google something.
Okay.
Sarah Silverman used to always say to me, I feel like you could play Lori Loughlin or Lori Loughlin, however you say her name, her sister in something.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, I don't know who that is.
Okay.
So I didn't know who this was, but I knew there was some actress that Sarah felt like I could play siblings with.
Okay.
So I'm talking, Sarah said this to me. For probably 3 years, 4 years.
Wow.
Then I go into this acting class, and sitting across from me in this group of maybe six people is Lori.
Okay.
I don't know her, but I thought this would be a funny little way to break the ice.
Okay.
And I said, hey, it's funny to meet you. My friend, has told me for years that she feels like we look alike and could play sisters.
What happened?
She just looked at me and just said, yeah, I don't see it.
Did she say that?
Yeah. And I said, oh, yeah, well, I don't know that I see it either. But, you know, I just thought it was in my head. I'm thinking like, look, I just thought it was funny.
Just an icebreaker.
Yeah, just an icebreaker. Oh. She wasn't being like blatantly rude, but she just was like, wow, I don't see it.
Mm-mm. That's not going to happen.
And it feels like a moment where you could have a little chuckle with somebody and be like, oh, or even lie and be like, oh, yeah, we should be sisters on a show one day. No, it was just, she didn't see it.
I don't see
it. So I was like, okay. Well, that was awkward. and then I saw Sarah again and I said, we were on a hike one day and I said, I went and replaced in his acting class. And Lori Loughlin or Laughlin, again, who cares how to pronounce
Loughlin.
Things?
I don't know.
She was in the acting class. And Sarah was like, no way. Did you tell her? And I said, I did. I did tell her. She was like, what did she say? And I said, she said, yeah, I don't see it. And Sarah was like, no. Like, she must have thought it was funny, though. And I said, not really. She just seemed to not see it. And Sarah's like, I don't know if I believe that. That's really how she responded. Because she was like, how does somebody not have a sense of humor about that?
Right.
And I was like, well, my takeaway was that she didn't see it.
She did not see it.
Yeah. So Sarah's like, huh. Then like a year later.
Oh, God, please no.
Sarah goes to an event and she sees Lori there. Okay. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to go up and talk to Lori. So Sarah goes up and she's like, hey, Lori, I'm Sarah Silverman. I'm friends with Tig. She's like, I'm the friend that's been telling her all these years that you guys look alike or could play sisters. And Sarah said, Lori said, yeah, I don't see it. And Sarah was like, wow, okay. And she called me and she said, you're right. She does not
see
it.
She doesn't see it.
And Sarah said, you know what I think it is? Because she was saying you shouldn't take offense. And I said, I truly don't care. I don't identify as like
a Lori Loughlin lookalike.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sarah goes, but I think that's the thing is she identifies with being beautiful and
glamorous.
Yeah.
And sexy.
And then she has this,
you
know, dyke.
She doesn't know that you're a sex symbol.
She doesn't know that in 20 years I'd be a sex symbol. So Sarah was like, I bet that's what it is she just is looking at you going,
where's your lip gloss?
Wanting some distance from that kind of, you know, association. And so I was like, oh, that's interesting. Then years later.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yes.
I get my own TV show.
Okay.
I'm not on Twitter.
Okay.
I mean, I have a Twitter account. People tweet for me. My assistant at the time, who is now our producer.
Yes.
Thomas said, guess who's tweeting at you?
Oh.
I said, who? He said, Lori Loughlin or Loughlin. And she said, congrats on your TV show.
Wow.
Maybe we can play sisters.
Oh, my God. Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a story of both of those people.
That is interesting.
Can you imagine the explosion that happened in my head when Lori and Felicity were side by side in the news?
And you thought, oh, my God, somebody just broke into my inner thoughts and has exposed them.
Yes.
Meanwhile, it was a huge college scandal.
Right.
That involved hundreds.
Lori and Felicity and hundreds of people. Which story did you like the best out of Felicity and Lori? They're both pretty good, right?
Well, I think the Lori story, you know, just years later. Oh, now that you have a show. Hey, girl. Hey, sister.
Looking for someone that looks like you.
So, okay, to make a long story short, everybody started going down all these people were exposed. The amounts of money that they gave, their telephone calls, their emails, things were exposed. Their kids, which is kind of sad. Mm-hmm. But the craziest part of this is the John Vandermeer, the sailing coach. Mm-hmm. I was saying that he's the only one that didn't get money directly. Uh-huh. So all the money that he got went to the sailing school.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody else got money individually. They, mm-hmm. you know, got nice cars and houses. And John was just like, great. Good for the school.
Thanks for donating to the school.
And I just feel so sorry for him. He got arrested. He got he pled guilty. Got 6 months house arrest. Mm-hmm. And of course, Stanford University fired him mm-hmm. and threw him under the bus and said, "Oh, we had no idea." But in the movie, it sure mm-hmm. looks like they all had an idea.
Now, Cheryl, did you like the reenactment element?
I did. I know some people did not enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't mind a nice reenactment.
I didn't know it was coming.
Oh, you didn't know Matthew Modine was going to be like...
I didn't know I was going to be watching reenactments. Yeah. And I was like, why? Why?
You would have rather just the...
Well, I mean, I got used to it, but I couldn't quite... I think from a production and direction...
It was distracting.
Well, I'm just truly curious why, you know, because you don't see a lot of... documentaries with
reenactment of the actual, well, I mean, look at the OJ trial. And that was, you know, you had really, not that Matthew Modine isn't super famous, but when I said super instead of very, but he is very famous, but not like,
not like me.
Well, I was going to say, David
Barbara
Schwimmer.
Streisand.
Barbara Streisand was playing Lori Loughlin in this. That would have been a different story. I liked this a lot.
I enjoyed it too.
I mean, it was hard to watch so, at times. Oh, and by the way, Rick Singer is still out and about free.
He's probably on a jog right now.
Yeah, he's surfing. At the end of the film, somebody catches up to him and he's just shirtless, putting his surfboard in the car. Just not a care in the world. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he's been charged, but not, we don't know what the penalty is going to be. I don't know what that word is.
Penalty.
What is the word?
Penalized.
We don't know how he's going to be penalized. Mm. Are you ready for some final thoughts?
Yeah.
Did you cry?
I did not. Mm-mm. Did you?
No. Mm-mm.
Who were you attracted to?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
So one of the dads has winery, has the vineyards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I wasn't attracted to the real life dad, but I was attracted to the actor playing the wine guy.
I probably would have been attracted to Lori if she didn't think I was so ugly.
That's so weird that you would have been attracted to the person that you think looks like you.
I don't think I look like her. I'm on her side.
You don't, like, you don't see it.
I don't see it either. However... if she would have said it to me, if she would have said, oh, my friend thinks that, I probably would have been like, oh, how funny. I wonder what it is about our look that makes her think that.
I mean, people must come up to you all the time and say that, right? You look like my friend so-and-so or my aunt.
Tom Cruise. Or Jim Carrey.
Oh, Jim Carrey. Okay.
But no, I don't get Lori. But yeah, I would have been attracted to her. But it's hard to be attracted to her when I know she thinks I am so ugly.
Oh, I mean, I think you're making a leap by saying she doesn't see that you guys look similar to. She thinks you're ugly. That's a leap.
Well, it's a leap I'm willing to take. You didn't see her face. We should have had Sarah come on and back up what her face looked like when the suggestion was made that we could place people just related to each other. Not that I could play her, but like...
Oh my God. Okay. Do you want to hear what we're going to talk about next week?
Yes.
We will be talking about Sasquatch on Hulu. Isn't that exciting?
It is.
Oh, I can't wait. Before we go, do you want to hear some true fan mail?
Sure.
Do you want me to read it, or would you like to read it?
No, you should read it. Okay. I want to hear how you make it through.
I don't have my glasses, so we'll see. Vince Y writes, "For what it's worth, after my 15-year-old dog passed away last year, I'm sorry, I am still not sure I'm ready for another. So instead, on our first road trip since lockdown, we named our GPS robot lady Dr. Becky Hines." It has worked out well. Yeah. So his GPS robot lady is Dr. Becky Hines.
That is incredible.
Okay. And then Johanna G writes, "Oh my God, Dr. Becky Hines." This is all caps right now.
She's a star.
She was even better than I expected. I didn't watch the doc they talked about, but it seemed very Florida. A lot of nothing spotted with extreme crazies. Also, how is it that Dr. Becky Hines, who lives in Florida, has less of an accent than our Cheryl, who is one Chardonnay away from... Y'all Cranky. Come back now, you hear? Oh. How dare you? Great episode. Aw. Becky Hines was
Dr.
a huge
Becky
hit.
Hines. Yeah, she was so great.
She's a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun. All right, Tig.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.